Hello, 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 my bedroom playmates. This is Mika Ray, and we are on WJBR Blog Talk Radio, and we welcome you all tonight. We look forward to discussing our topic, which is bisexual men and the down-low phenomenon. So tonight we do have Shonda Ray with us. Shonda, are you there?
I am. Hello, Mika. Hello, everybody.
Hi. So we're so happy that you're here joining us tonight, Shonda. Thank you. How was your day today?
It was wonderful. It's even better now. I can't wait for the discussion. It's going to be hot.
Yes, 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 yes. I definitely agree. So what we have tonight, we have two anonymous speakers tonight that are going to speak on this topic. We have a guy that identifies as bisexual, and then we also have a female who has had some concerns surrounding men on the down low as well. So we look forward to hearing from them and talking to them tonight. And of course, you know, I always start off with a song, so I'm going to play this song, and we will come back and bring on our next guest. And give me 1 second. Shonda, are you prepared for hearing what they have to say to us tonight?
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it from a male perspective, because I do think guys get a bad rap sometimes. It's like guys can't be bisexual, but women can. So I can't wait to hear the discussion, as well as hearing the female's thoughts on things that maybe she's experienced from men who weren't completely honest with her.
I'm looking forward to it too, and it's true. When men do receive a bad rap, and it's unfair that we have these double standards. We make it really hard for men to be who they are sexually, which creates this down-low thing. But if we become more open with sexuality and realize how fluid it is, men will feel a little bit more open to bring out their concerns or their sexual desires.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's play this song, and when we come back, we will bring on our first guest.
Okay.
I'm a baby boy. Gang, gang,
baby boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
time I come and see you, you're telling me what I can and can't do. Girl, you're losing your mind. Baby, you tell your friends I don't treat you right. You say I'm living another life. I wanna make you my wife. Yes, I do, baby. Girl, you're about to drive me crazy. You cut me down and call me lazy. I guess I'm just another baby boy.
Welcome back, everyone. And I chose that song just because I wanted to. I wanted to play that song because I feel like we have, as we are, we have men who aren't being honest out there. And to me, that song was my best relation to that. So, anyway, so I have our caller on, and his number is 5712. So, are you here?
I am here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Okay, so I wanted you, if you don't mind, to identify your sexuality.
I am a bisexual male.
Okay. And for you, can you just give us a little background, like maybe just a little history of your sexuality?
Well, the majority of my life I've been I guess heterosexual, and most of my relationships have been with women.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere maybe about 10 years ago, I had an experience with another male, and kind of been involved with both male and female ever since.
Okay. So I just have a quick question. Do you feel like you have a preference for one over the other?
To be in all honesty, not really. I'm more about love and receiving it as well as giving it. So whoever mm-hmm. is in my life at that time will receive all of my love, and I expect to get all their love in return.
Okay. Okay, I see. What we talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about women who identify as bisexual and bi-curious, and how it seems to not be as big of a stigma for women to identify as bisexual, but it seemed like with men, well, first off, the bisexual quote-unquote label has a pretty bad rep in the heterosexual and the LGBT community, but it seems like women have it a little bit easier than men. And I really don't agree with the double standard, because my main thing is that we are all sexual beings. we all have different things. We all have different sexual desires, and I feel like sexuality is on a continuum. My biggest thing is that I want men and women to be honest about their sexuality regardless of what it is and who they are with. So for you, do you find it hard to be honest about your sexuality with women or men?
To be honest, it's not hard to be honest. Honesty is something that's just within me, period. So it's not hard for me to tell someone who I am or my sexual experiences. I find it difficult for people to receive that. Everybody say that they want somebody who's honest, who's open, who's willing to not hold anything back. But when you are that open, that transparent towards a woman, knowing that my last relationship was with a guy, we were together 5 years, 6 years, or whatever, in a monogamous relationship, and then when that ends and you're putting your heart out there to once again love, and you let a woman know, of course you want to be honest, you know, my last relationship was with a guy, instantly they start packing up they shit like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know if it's okay to cuss, but, you know,
it's
they
okay.
Start packing up their stuff like, you know, well, it was nice to meet you, I appreciate your honesty, but this isn't for me. And I've never understood why it's so hard for you to understand or to accept the fact that I'm being honest and still want to possibly move forward with something more than just, hey, you can be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask
mm-hmm.
you something? With the way that makes you feel, and I can just hear it in your voice, how hurtful that could possibly be coming from someone when you're being completely honest with them. I want to know, has that feeling that they've given you ever caused you to go out with a woman and not tell her just because you were fearful of her reaction?
Well, in my earlier years, you know, I was in fear of, I guess it wasn't really the person that I was with that I was in fear of telling. I think it was more about the people who knew me who didn't know me, finding out that this was also a part of who I am. So every woman that I've ever been with up to this point knows that either after them or before I met them, there was a guy that I was involved with. So at this point, I'll give you an example. You know, I was up to love anybody about a year or so ago. My last relationship was with a guy. We were together for a long time. And that ended. And so when I was ready to put myself out there, the first thing I did was I started dating women. And in me dating women, you know, it was just like, you know, how are you doing? You're nice, blah, blah, blah. When was your last relationship? You know, well, my last relationship was a few months ago. Oh, well, why did it end? What happened between you and her? Instantly, they thought it was her. And then at that point, I'm like, well, you know, this is what happened between me and him, and this is the reason we're no longer together. And then instantly they're like, oh, so you're gay. And I'm like, no, I'm bisexual. And they're like, well, how can you be bisexual? And then all these other questions form. You know, how can you be bisexual when, you know, you're doing it to a guy or a guy's doing it to you or blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But for me, I don't want this to sound like a heterosexual man and woman relationship, even when it's in a homosexual relationship. I've never had that aspect of a guy doing me. So, therefore, I mean, it's hard to even try to explain all that when they instantly shut you out when you tell them what your last relationship was.
Right. Do you think it would be easier if you just didn't tell them? I am a firm believer that a lot of women will date guys that are bisexual or gay, for that matter, if no one knows, if it's not discussed. Do you find that you could have a relationship with a woman as long as you don't say anything, she won't say anything?
Well, no, because then that's not truly a relationship, because there will still be secrets. And
so that's true.
But I feel you cannot honestly love somebody and give your entire self to that person, holding on to a secret that is as big as that. It would be like an elephant in the room every day, in every room you're in, and any conversation you're having, there's always that one big thing that you want to say, but you don't say out of fear that that woman will not want to date you or be with you. I feel you should always give a person an option. Give them a choice to either accept all of your baggage or don't accept any of you at all.
I agree.
I agree as well. I think that's a very great point that you made, because that when you're not being honest, it does lead to just what what this show is about, men being on the down low, and they're not giving women a choice. And to kind of piggyback off of your question, Shonda, I just wonder to our guest tonight, have you had a lot of experiences where you have been honest and women have decided to still date you anyway?
Well, there's been a couple, and you know, I'm a attractive guy, you know, I'm good where I'm good, and so once you tell a woman, like, this is what I've done, this is what I've been through, some women are just curious to want to know if I can change him all the way to be straight.
Right.
Or then you got women that are like, you know, I'm up for this challenge to be with him, but I still have this insecurity that maybe he'll see a guy and want to be with this guy. And they feel like that's something that they cannot compete with because of the different sexes. You know, to be honest, all of my ex-girlfriends, ex-fiancés, and things like that, all of them at this point right now would take me back because I was honest. They understand what I have to offer. They know I'm just not your average Joe. And so, therefore, my complete package, they are willing to deal with whatever it was because they know the type of man that I am. Any woman that I'm trying to date now that I haven't dated or haven't had the chance to know who I am, they tend to be more standoffish or not susceptible to what could be because of all the stigma that floats around about a man who's been with a man now trying to be with a woman. See, I'm not DL, but I'm not, like, all out there. If you ask me, I'm going to be honest. Whether you're male or female, if you ask me what I am, what I do, I have no problems with sharing what I am, what I do. If you really want to know the answer, ask the question. If you don't want to know, don't ask.
And that brings back another point, too, because we find that women aren't asking.
Well, a lot of women do ask. And
okay.
A lot of them will ask it in a joking manner. You know, like, you know, you ain't been with no men and nothing, have you? Ha, ha, ha. And then in my response to be like, well, yeah, I've been in a relationship with a guy before, then now it's no longer a joke. And now it's like, you know, instantly they want to put me in a friendship category, where we can't go together, we can't have anything else except for this friendship. So you'll be like my quote-unquote gay husband or my gay boyfriend or my gay friend, but that's only a part of me. That's not all of me. So you would never even have thought of me as a friend because you've already formed in your mind that this is the person I am.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Shauna, did you have something to say? It sounded like you did.
I was just thinking as he was talking, if you're bisexual, and forgive my ignorance, but if you're bisexual, what does marriage look like to you, or do you ever see yourself as being married? I'm speaking in terms of a woman, but to a man either. Do you think you could commit fully to either one?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my last relationship, I was married to this guy. And unfortunately, we didn't separate being like, I don't want to be with you anymore. It was God's will that something happened to where, you know, it was no other choice. You know, there was a death in it, and I lost him due to circumstances that were uncontrollable. And instantly,
I was just going to say, do you still have desires? So in that case, are you no longer bisexual when you're just committed to, if you're in a committed relationship with a man, are you now not looking at women or desiring women and vice versa? When you're with a woman, are you no longer desiring a male?
Now, that is a very good question. For me, personally, an attractive person, being male or female, is always going to be an attractive person. I've never been a person to not speak my mind on what I find to be beautiful, sexy, attractive, handsome, or whatnot. So, therefore, if and when I'm in a relationship with a woman, you know, if we happen to walk past a guy or be looking at a video or whatever the case may be, and I'm like, he's really attractive. And vice versa, in a relationship with a man, if I see a woman and I'm like, ooh, she looked really good, or she's beautiful, or whatever the case, I don't have a problem with complimenting the same or opposite sex, no matter what type of a relationship I'm in. I just want the person that I'm with to know that all that is a compliment. I'm not saying that I want to go jump their bones. I'm just saying that I think they're very beautiful or really handsome.
Gotcha.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I just want you, if you can please, I have two questions. One of them is, I just kind of want you to, you kind of reviewed it just a little bit, but if you can, just in case we have some men that are listening who don't know how to have that conversation, are you able to give like three tips that they can utilize to have that conversation with a woman?
Well, my only tips would pretty much basically be put yourself in that person's shoes. You would always want them to be honest with you. And you would want them, and you would want to be able to make a choice on whether you want to be with them or not. So always be honest. Be open to whatever their answer is going to be. Don't down yourself. Don't try to hide it now at this point after you've been through some trials and this has not worked. Just know that there is somebody out there for you. Somebody is out there for everybody.
Right.
Always go into it open-heartedly, knowing that love exists no matter who is with, no matter what your sexual preference is. Now, me personally, I don't think that being bisexual is a sexual preference. I don't think that being gay is a sexual preference, nor is being straight a sexual preference. Because if that was the case, then everyone would be straight because they wouldn't want to have to deal with all of the backlash that comes with you loving who you choose to love. So, therefore, it's always about honesty, number one. Honesty is always key. always be honest with yourself first. Know what mm-hmm. you really are before you're willing to tell somebody who you are or who you believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
Always wear your heart on your sleeve when you're trying to love somebody. Because in all honesty, if all you want is sex, most people are not going to tell the person their previous sexual experiences because all this is sex. But when
right.
it's more than that, when you're looking for love, then you have to wear your heart on your sleeve and be ready to accept everything that happens to it, whether it's good or bad. And just, you know, my thing is always keep God first. You know, I'm a firm believer, so I always keep God first. So if it's not meant to be, if it don't work out, then that was probably a road that I wasn't meant to go down that would have caused some other kind of dilemma, some other kind of situations that would have hindered me from growing. So I'm always honest.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. My other question is for women who find themselves with men and they don't, or they're questioning their sexuality. What tips would you give them? I guess not necessarily how to identify, but how can they bring up the conversation? What can they talk about? And I guess, yeah, what should they be looking for if they are questioning their lover's sexuality?
Well, that's a really good question. Just take it like this. Not all gay men are flamboyant, or even bisexual men are flamboyant. You have so many different quote-unquote categories of men, hence down low, thugs, some of them are called trades, just different kind of guys who you wouldn't be able to even believe if you knew that this person even messed around with God. Then you have your guys out there.
Hello? Okay, looks like we might have lost.
Thank you,
Pastor. Oh, you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, so you have the guys who are just genuinely good guys. They're just kind guys. They're always caring and compassionate towards your feelings. So mm-hmm. you really cannot tell if a guy really is bisexual, gay, or straight unless you ask them. The proper way to ask them is don't ever come at them defensively, and don't have an offense whenever you're coming at them either. You have to just tactfully bring up the conversation. A good way would be, you know, let's talk about some of our past relationships. You know, mm-hmm. my last relationship was with so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we were together X amount of time. When was your last relationship? Okay, well, you know, I considered at one point maybe messing around with a girl, you know, but, you know, I was kind of a little scared about it. Have you ever done anything like that with a guy? You know, it's an open conversation. He doesn't really feel attacked. So there is, he's really trying to be more than just a booty call for you. He'll be honest. He'll be like, yes, or I thought about it, or I'm not. And this is only for the real men. And I hate to
right.
say it like that, but this is for the real men who understand that their value is more than just their sexuality. So I feel like just be honest, find a tactful way, be kind, don't be defensive, and don't be offensive. Be neutral and let them feel comfortable in knowing that regardless of what the answer is, they already know that, hey, we're going to move forward or, you know, this will kind of be a problem. You can also maybe tell a small fib by saying that, you know, I once dated a guy and, you know, he didn't tell me, but I kind of found out that he was on the DL. And that
mm-hmm.
kind of really hurt me because he didn't give me the option of being honest enough with me to tell me so that I can make a logical decision based off of myself, my life, my family, and what I see for my life. So I wouldn't want that to happen ever again. So if I was in a relationship with a guy or trying to make something, I would want him to be honest and leave that door open for him to either say, oh, I'd never do that to you. I'm not even like that. I'm not that kind of person. Or say, well, since that door is open, let me step in and sit down and talk to you about what I've been through in my past relationship.
I think that's wonderful, wonderful advice to give, because my biggest thing is that I feel that we all need to make it safe, make men feel safe, make them feel secure enough to discuss their sexuality, but not even just their sexuality. Women need to make men feel safe and secure in discussing any type of emotion. And we don't have an environment where it's set up that men feel comfortable enough to share their true feelings, their true thoughts, their true emotions, because they feel like they're going to be looked at, and this is just my viewpoint, that they're going to be looked at as soft or weak. And women say, you know, I don't want anyone who's soft or weak, but I also want somebody who is emotional, who's able to connect with me in different types of ways. But if we continue to live in a country where we make it hard for men to be men and be themselves and be open, be honest, we're going to continue to experience men that are on the down low, men that are cheating, period, men that don't know how to connect with us emotionally. So I just really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and see, what I found out is really, it's really not about them being so much as honest with a woman that they just met compared to them being honest with this woman. They're in the relationship with this woman, and then they get a backlash from this woman saying that, you know, in an argument, or you're upset that, you know, you done probably did something with your boy or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side to that is also the whole point of the matter that a lot of these guys that are on the DL are not on the DL because of the woman. They're on the DL because of their mom, their dad, their friends, everybody who they've come to say that they love and that loves them, and they're in fear of losing them because this is another part of who they are that they don't want to share because they may lose somebody they've been friends with for 20 years. What I feel about that is when I came out to let my mom and my brothers and my sister, my cousins, all of my friends, my best friend, all of my friends and everybody from who I grew up with to everything before this, part of me was open enough for me to be able to discuss it with them. All of them are still my friends to this day. Mm-hmm. And that's because I had to give them room to accept it, to understand it, and then to realize that no matter who it is or what it is that I'm doing behind my closed doors, I'm still that same dude you've been kicking it with. I'm still that same dude who had your back when nobody else would, or I'm still that same guy. So it took them a little moment. It took some of my family a long moment. Some of my family still don't talk to me, but it's cool. But it just, you have to give yourself the trust that when you put this out and let everybody know that the true friends and true family will still be there to support you and love on you just the way they did before anything in their world, not your world, anything in their world changed about you.
Wow, I love that. I love that. And I think that this conversation could go on forever because it's so poignant to have. We don't talk to, you know, we don't hear the points of view of a man who identifies bisexual at all. And we make judgments, we make determinations, all kinds of things based on what we think and what we've heard. So I think this was a great conversation to have, and I know you have other things that, because I can hear it all in your voice, and, of course, I know a little bit about you from past experiences, so I know there are other things that are inside of you that you would benefit from getting it out, and, of course, you know I'm always here, and we can always find someone for you, too, if you don't want to talk to me. So you are always welcome, you know, to this show to discuss whatever you want to discuss. If you really feel like you want to come back and talk about this again, we will have you back on because I think it's so much deeper than just this 35 minutes that we had today. If anyone is out there listening and you have a question or you have a comment, just remember to press 1. You're also able to write on the Facebook while you know I will make sure to talk about it on the show. So do you have anything else you want to say before we let you go? Because I know we're over your bedtime.
No, just don't judge anyone by their sexuality because you could be losing out on something that's way more greater than anything you've ever experienced before you ever met this person. So always be open, but always be honest with yourself.
I definitely agree. Be honest with yourself. Honesty starts with you first. If you don't know yourself, it's going to be really hard for you to share yourself with someone else. And if you don't mind, like, maybe staying on through this song just to see if we have any questions or comments before we, you know, let you go. And Shonda Rae, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Well, you know what? She told me no. So I'm going to go ahead play this next song, and if you can stay there just until it ends, and when it ends, I'll come back and I'll let you know if we have anything. If we don't, then you are free to go or just kind of hang out.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Hey, it is my pleasure.
We appreciate it. Okay, everybody. So I'm going to play TLC Creep. Now, this has nothing to do with you, my guest. This has everything to do with cheating and download. They're very synonymous in a lot of ways. Cheating is cheating, whether they're cheating with the bed or cheating with another woman. So that's the reason why I'm playing this song. So.
Yeah.
righty, all righty. So we are back. Thank you so much for joining us, and you are again listening to the G Spot with Mika Ray on WJBR Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com. And I think I have one question, so I'm going to bring. Actually, I have two questions, so I'm going to bring them on. The first one is 0988. Well, actually, that may be my next guest. Let me double check. Oh, no. Okay. Let me bring 0988 on. Hello, 0988.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Did you have a question for our guest?
No, I just dialed in. This is Sheila.
Oh, this is you. Okay, great. Can I put you back on hold 1 second?
You sure can.
Okay, one moment. Okay, so we have 5280. 5280,
this is Chad.
Are you there?
I was just saying hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. This is a good conversation for the part that I have, and I'm ready, the part that I've heard, and I'm just anxious to hear the other story.
Okay, great. Well, we definitely appreciate you listening in and joining us this evening. Thank you so very much, Chad. And then the part that you didn't hear, because I know you rolled into the invite, it's recorded, so we will post a link for you as well, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. All righty. So our guest, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So you can hang out with us if you want. We don't have any more questions or comments, so I'm going to bring on the next guest for us tonight. And you just hang out if you want to, or if you need to go to bed, we understand, okay?
All right. Well, thank you for having me. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. You too. We appreciate you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. All righty. So we are ready for our next guest. She's coming on to share her story as it relates to bisexual men and men being on the down low. So that's 0988. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay, great. So, Shonda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello, dear guest.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. You?
Good. I'm great. Thank you. So what did you think about the last guest? Just listening to some of the things he was saying, what were your feelings at that time, if you got a chance to hear him?
Actually, I missed the last guest. I was dialing in at the time. So I'm hoping to go back and catch that.
Okay, well, that didn't work.
No, I missed it.
Well, that's
right
okay.
Along.
You definitely, you will have a chance to listen to the story. So that's a
perfect.
Good thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what has your experience been with men on the men and sexuality and men and bisexuality?
Oh, wow. So two things. I guess the thing of old is my ex-husband. I found out that he had actually had an affair with another male while he and I were together when we first got together. And that was devastating to me because I had always suspected that there was something there, but, you know, he was the church guy and the choir guy. And so a lot of his mannerism was acceptable because that's just, you know, how we tend to look at our young church men at times. But there were flags for me because I have a gay brother. And there were certain things that I just kind of had picked up on. And I thought it was just because I'd been exposed to their lifestyle for so long. And I was like, you know, maybe I'm just looking at everybody like that. But I realized that that was not the case. And I remember addressing his mannerisms early on. And he, you know, had told me he had been molested and he had never really dealt with that. And I truly wanted to deal with that because I felt that it would eventually come back to haunt us. And it did. It haunted us. I found that I was pregnant with our son, probably maybe about 4 months pregnant, and I got a phone call from his best friend. Oh, no, I'm sorry, his best friend's lover. I got a phone call from him. And he said, you know, I just need to talk to, you know, your husband. And he continued to call about 5 o'clock that morning. And instantly I knew something wasn't right because I knew the best friend and the best friend's lover, and there was no reason for them to be calling at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why my mind went straight to this, you know, something wasn't right, but it did. It was intuition. And as my day went on, a lot of things, you know, occurred, and finally I got to the bottom of it probably about 9 o'clock that night, and the confession came, and he had actually had an affair with the man, and I was very devastated by it, and I tried to work through it, and but he was in such denial because it only gets worse. He's a preacher as well, so hiding who he was and trying to suppress who he is or was, and trying to live up to the expectations of everyone else, and you know, supposedly having the wife, and I think it was just a lot, and you know, I personally, for me, I just had to take a moment to heal, and that was hard. So my healing actually happened, one, when I finally admitted what was going on, because I kind of kept the secret as well for him, and for because I was embarrassed by it, trying to deal with it. But I remember probably my son was, like, kindergarten, my daughter was, in preschool. And I remember reading the book, Thelma, I think it was. And I read the book in, like, a couple hours. And honestly, it empowered me. Like, I read the book. I realized that this is happening. It is true. It's not something I have to hide behind and accept if it happened to me, but rather I can make a difference. I can make a change for myself. And as hard as it was to finally, you know, start talking about it, I did. And, you know, he never truly faced it. He resented me. And long story short, we split. But that was just my whole experience in realizing that this is a truth. I don't want the epidemic. It's just life. It's reality. It's what is happening now. And I think there's a lot of people that are dealing with it, and good or bad or indifferent, you know, it's just what is going on. And we have to choose how we want to handle it as individuals.
Right.
So, yeah. that was that. But, yeah.
So, in hindsight, was the fact that he was having sex with you the only thing that made him heterosexual? And I ask that because I hear you saying that he had a lot of feminine ways, which really mean nothing. But he was the choir director?
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't know any straight choir directors. I'm just thinking that that's just a gay job. I don't know if I
there
would see the organist or the choir director as a potential husband. I'm not being judgmental,
no,
but I'm just saying. Did any of those things? What was it about him that made you say, okay, I'm gonna go for it, no matter what this looks like, I'm still gonna go for it?
You know, we were church kids, and I don't want to say that was my reason, but we were church kids, and you know, his build, you know, I'm not saying like he's fine because that wasn't it, but I'm just saying his stature. You know, he just seemed so strong and so this and so that, and but he had these he still has some of those feminine ways about him. It was like I was trying to look past my, I kind of looked at every guy like they were suspect because I had been around the lifestyle for so long with my brother. I mean, in and out of the clubs and, all of his friends. And so, and they would always say, Queenie, let me know, if you're dating someone because I'll let you know if he's trained, And so I started looking at people the way they were telling me. And with this guy, I had known him for all my life. And so I tried to look past that because, I always saw him with girls all the time, but that didn't really mean that he was really with girls. But he truly was. This situation, I kind of look at it differently now because I think as a young man, he was just molested repeatedly until it became the norm. And even though in the beginning I know he thought he knew it was wrong and didn't seem right, it became the norm because he was also introduced to pornography early on by a man that was molesting him. So kind of gave him a little taste of probably what he was more interested in, which was women, but still had him doing other sexual activities with him. Looking at them now, from a therapist and counselor standpoint, I can see it differently. It just wasn't a good fit for me, and it was devastating at the time. There were definitely flags, but I was trying to look past those things. And the other, since he was with females a lot, but the other side was that he hung out with the other musicians, and I knew that they were gay. And when I addressed it, it was just, we were all like one big family. So it's kind of like, we're going to really pass judgment, so that religion thing played a big part in accepting him. And then I had to learn, I really did have to learn the hard way, so.
Yeah.
And I have two beautiful children by him, I would say that.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, so.
Is he, I just have a question. When you first started dating him, what kind of conversations did you have in reference to his sexual history? Or did you even have any questions regarding that?
We did, and he was very, I don't want to say so promiscuous. He was a young teenage athlete and band leader that had a very colorful teenage sex life, and girlfriends that he often talked about, and that it was a very small town, so they knew me as well, and so I was able to know who he had supposedly been with, but it was something about the best friend, and when one of us, best friend was gay, that was a question for me, because I have friends that are gay, and oh my God, I've had girlfriends that are gay, and they've tried me in every way possible. Especially early on in our friendship, that's just what happens oftentimes in my experience. So I kind of question it, like, well, do guys do that? I know us girls, we kind of like, we flirt even when we're not flirting, And I was like,
right,
do guys
right.
do that? We never discussed much about he and his best friend, other than, the mischief that they got into. But one thing, that I did bring up was this femininity. And then I also asked him, had he ever been molested? And I had asked that question just because of, I was always very aware of things. And so I just asked it because I figured something had happened. I don't know why. I still don't know why. I just kind of knew. And it took a while for me to kind of get that answer out of him. And finally, that's when he divulged information about the cousin that had introduced him to, porn, and then would have him come and perform oral sex on him. And so one thing he said that was like a flag for me, he said that he found himself going by himself without being told to come over. And that was saddening for me because I realized that his innocence was taken.
Yeah.
And at that time, he didn't truly one, he didn't have a choice early on, and two, you know, I just had a conversation. His frontal brain development, the lobe, it was not developed, and he began to do this because it, you know, it just became the norm. It's kind of what was expected. And then I think once there's a certain thing that's kind of awakening, and it, this thing, it feels that even though you know it may not be right, for some reason it's like that addiction, that drug, it keeps kind of going back. And he tries to suppress it, but it's still there. And I think that's why it came out again later. I don't know how many times, you know, he did this while we were married or anything like that. I just know that, you know, it came out then for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
What is the relationship like with your kids and their father?
It's good. It's as good as, you know, it can be. You know how dad can be sometimes. So it's as good as it can be. They asked me, my daughter, she asked me, why didn't me and dad break up? Because we've been split for years now. So she asked me why me and dad break up. And I just use the big words, irreconcilable differences. I don't think I will ever share with them why, and I don't know whether that's right or wrong. I just don't want them to feel a particular way about their dad. It's something that he and I shared, something that happened between he and I, and I just don't want to truly let that out, you know. I mean, unless he came out of the closet, you know, if he was truly decided to live a gay lifestyle, which I don't know if he ever will. I mean, he's still looking for, you know, a woman to marry, so I don't really know.
Oh, really? I was just going to ask if he went on to be with men, and so he's still in denial that he's gay.
I don't know if this was a one-time thing, or I don't know what it is. I truly have no answer, and I tried my best to get up in counseling, and, you know, I did everything I could do to get it to come out and talk and to get an understanding, but he doesn't like being faced with that reality, and I guess I can understand it. But after all these years, you know, he's still. So I don't know. He's still looking for a woman to marry. I know that.
So is he the only guy that you've been involved with that ended up being gay or bisexual?
That I know of, yes.
Okay.
That's the only guy ever that I dated or was with, and there was a flag that I had to address. Yeah.
So what do you do now? What do you do to protect yourself from that? What are you doing differently?
Now I am I run. That's probably the first thing. I got the flight instinct. That's horrible. There are a lot of, what do you call them, metrosexual men, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. They're very metrosexual, and I tend to shy away from those guys. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, it goes on to so many other things. It's probably, you know, why this is going on, why it's so sad now or whatever. I hope it doesn't stay forever. But, yeah, the metrosexual men I run away from. Men with very high-pitched voices I run away from. It's really funny how I tend to run away more than, you know, if they watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, I run away. It is funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed this. I'm thinking like, wow, you know, why am I doing that? But I just don't want to face it, especially when the flags are just really, really high and flying. But I do understand because, again, remember, my brother's gay, and my brother used to be with, I hate to say it this way, but only or mainly married men.
Mm-hmm.
And the men that he were with were very masculine. There were a lot of them were in the military, or they were athletes. And so even, I mean, I saw guys that I would have probably picked up at the grocery store, and they were married, and they were picking my brother up. And, oh, my gosh, that was like, that was very sobering to me. So now I'm even, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm listening for everything. I'm watching everything. I want to know who you used to date. I want to see the pictures. I want to go visit the family early. You know, it's like, cause I'm trying to make sure that that's just one less thing I got to worry about. I truly, and I don't even know the right way to even address it, because I do ask, you know, guys, have you ever, you know, and I think they're looking like I'm crazy that I would bring that question up. But, you know, I ask the question now, have you ever been with a guy before? Ever thought, I mean, what about in college? You know, I try to make light of it, but it's a true question. I'm really wondering, you know.
Well, it's definitely important to have that conversation, and we were talking about it with the with our last caller, so I would love for you to listen back at the show and hear some of the things that he said, because he does identify as bisexual, and he has had these conversations with women before about his sexuality. And I don't even know if he's still on, but if he's still on, I mean, I think it would be great for you two to kind of converse just briefly so that he can give you an idea of what it's like. And he actually said he's still on. So I can bring him on if you want to ask a question or two or hear some of the advice that he has.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let me bring him on. Well, let me see how to bring him on. Hang on one second.
Hello?
Oh, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, great. So guest number one, meet guest number two. I said I want to keep you all anonymous.
Great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful. So were you able to hear my story?
Yes, I've been listening.
Oh, okay. So do you have any advice for me? Because,
well,
I missed yours, unfortunately.
It's okay. Well, really, as far as advice goes, there really isn't any particular advice that I can give, because, as you know, I had stated earlier that when it comes to guys, you can't really instantly say that you can't date them, because they may have some of what you consider or many may consider to be feminine ways. And you can't really date guys who may appear to not have any type of feminine ways at all, because in the life, they come in everything in between, and whether you're a thug, professional, very flamboyant, they're out there regardless. The way that I had explained earlier was just that you can most definitely bring it up in a tactful way, you know, just kind of tell a little bit of your story and just say that you don't want to be hurt like that again. Any guy that's really looking for something serious will most definitely answer that question for you without there being a problem. If there's something out there for them to hide, they may dodge the question. Some guys may even get angry that you would even accuse them of that. So, I mean, and then that can go either way. It could be because they're hiding something, or just that they're really naturally offended. So there's really no way. You just, if you have an intuition, I just say trust it.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that you went through what you went through. A lot of guys are not like myself, but I heard you say that with him being in the church, there is a platform that he stands on. And with him being on that platform, and it's hard for him to think about the realization of losing that platform in order to be true to himself. So if he's never true to himself, he'll never be able to even say the words that I'm gay or bisexual. And that's going to be the life he's going to live. And any woman that dates him from this moment on, he'll probably never tell them what he let you know about himself out of the fear that they will not want to be with him and that this could possibly ruin what he has going on in his life.
And we don't. Another thing, while you're talking, because I know she made a few comments earlier in regards to some of the things that she looked for. I don't want her to feel, and no woman wants to feel like they have to be on their P's and Q's all the time, and they're suspecting of somebody all the time that
right.
they are on the down low, or they're not doing what you know that they're doing something secretive, and. I guess I wonder how can you feel comfortable enough that when you meet someone that this could be a true relationship, he's being honest with you. Would you ever get to that point, I wonder?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to know too.
Oh, well, I don't really think that you ever truly like get to that point where it's not kind of somewhere in your mind. At least at one part of meeting someone. But you know, again, like you said though, trust your intuition. So if I don't have intuition about a person, I don't even normally bring it to someone, and maybe they are, as I said earlier, metro. Or they're talking about Real Housewives, or they're in church, or, you know, it's certain things that are just, you know, I'll kind of question it, you know. But, yeah, I don't think you ever truly get to it because it's there, it happened, and it was devastating. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to always be a part of me, you know. And I just kind of own it now. I mean, I don't bring it up in every relationship. I don't bring it up in every encounter. But it's there, and if an opportunity presents itself and I can discuss some of it, I will. Or I'll ask certain questions and listen for replies and responses. And
Well, me personally, in an initial meet and greet and sit down, I find it always important to get as much information as possible. If we're going to the movies, we're just going to go on a walk, whatever the case may be, we're just talking over the phone. I find it very important to get as much information as possible. And it's always important to, as I stated, to give the person you're talking to the option to want to continue on or to say, hey, it was nice speaking with you. This isn't going to work for me because of things that I believe in or things that I do not want to put up with. I don't feel it's wrong to be true to yourself. You should always be true to yourself. If knowing that a guy was with a guy before is a red flag for you and that's true to you, stick to what's true to you. But I guess my biggest thing is don't just think that the second you may see a guy, if his wrist is down in the process of him thinking that, you know, he may possibly be bisexual or gay. Giving an example, my father, you know, one of the straightest men I know, you know, when he would put his hand on his hip when he would be discussing stuff. And he has never thought to do anything with the guy, and he accepted me when I finally did come out about myself. So I just think that it's each and every individual person.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree that it's based on each individual person. I do want to ask you, did you ever receive any type of counseling after this incident?
0988, myself?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. Like I said, it took some time, though, because he refused, and we were a military family at the time, so he did not, you know, he just, you know, we were just boxed in everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were boxed. It was just like, you can't basically, you know, I couldn't go to the church, excuse me, because he was active there. I couldn't go to the military counselors because, well, you know, he's active duty. You know, I couldn't go to my one of my dear friends, that's the actual therapist, because, well, you know, he didn't want to do that. So after we split, I wound up getting counseling myself because he would not, we just couldn't go, and I couldn't utilize my free services through the military because it would have, he felt that it would link back to him, which it would not have, but he felt that it would. So I actually had to wait until he and I split.
Well, that's what I mainly was talking about was, did you go for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah.
And I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it does sound like, I don't know if you still hurt. Are you, or have you healed from this?
I've healed. Like, I forgave him for this, and you know, I was, it was a time I could not discuss it because I'd held it in for so many years. Because when this happened early, my son, you know, we split. Probably he was seven years old. So this happened. I found I was pregnant, and this had just happened. I had went out of town, and the incident occurred. So years I suppressed it, couldn't discuss it. So then after we finally split, years after that we moved, stayed together, you know, lived together, moved, and so on and so forth, kept it a secret, and then I finally had the counselor and finally was able to really discuss it and talk about it because I was looking like the bad person for leaving. No one knew why. So when I did get counseling, I mean, I had to get counseling for trying to understand all of that because then the family shunned me because they assumed that, you know, I was just a Jezebel, you know, just left this preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so I had to deal with that and still not tell them really why I left him. But then, I had to deal with the loss of, you know, my spouse and my children. So it took a while, but forgiving him for the act, yeah, I was over that as soon as I just accepted what happened and said, you know what, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So once I did that, I was fine. I think the biggest issue I had was the resentment that I held because I felt that he made me suppress, you know, the reality of what happened. That's what I was more angry about. I was just like, you know, listen, we can deal with this issue. Just tell me, you know, what's going on. And that's the piece that he was in such denial over, and I was so angry about it. And he was a freaking preacher, so I was so mad. And that's the part that I really had to get help with. You know, even now, like, we're like brothers and sisters even now, you know, because I'm over it, I'm out of it, you know, and it was a part of him that he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his life. And the gentleman just said something that was key. You know, that is his reality, and that is something he's going to have to fight with. And he's on a platform and can't truly ever say who he really is. And that's a lie, you know. And for me, I thank God. I don't have to do that at all. I can be me and be free. I'm fine, you know. But, he's kind of trapped.
Well, he's
definitely
only trapped because he chooses to be. He could still be himself. He's trapped only because he doesn't want to be. He's trapped because of his own shame. But he can certainly preach the gospel of the Lord and be a minister and be a good person and all of that. So we can't make too many excuses for him. I would just say in your case, because you've been through so much, everyone is guilty until proven innocent. And that would be the way I would live my dating life.
Right.
Yeah. Shonda, I definitely agree. Your emotional health is much more important than anybody else's. So, like Shonda said, everyone is, I'm not necessarily say guilty, but no one deserves your heart until they earn it.
Right.
And that takes time. And that takes time to get to know each other and learn each other's patterns, each other's history, making sure you're both healthy, emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually, and just being aware. And I just want everybody to know that regardless of if you are suspecting someone is on the down low or not, you should always talk about their sexual history with them. That's the first conversation you should have, because we are only responsible for our own sexual bodies. No one else is. So that's something you should have a discussion with, whether they are gay, bisexual, heterosexual, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you are having that discussion.
I just kind of wanted to say something about his platform. You know, you missed it, but, you know my husband, or my deceased husband, you know, he was a pastor. He was actually an apostle. And when he found me, or rather we found each other, it became evident that we would be together. And so he came out to everybody, his church, his mom, his dad. You know, he came out and just let everybody know, and I did the exact same thing, because we figured that if we didn't have anybody else, we would still have each other. So maybe not giving him an excuse, but he probably just needs a good support system, because it took that from my deceased husband for me to be able to come out, and it took me for him to be able to come out and let everybody know. And yes, you're going to lose church members who do not believe in the life that you're living. However, you're going to gain members too who have felt the same thing, or who understand your struggle. And so it will be for me, and I hope that maybe you can even let him, like, send him the link so that he can listen to this. But it'll be good for him if this is truly going to continuously be a part of him, that he tries to develop him a strong support system.
Well, what if, and you know, this is a piece that I've always really, for years now, but, you know, like I said earlier, he's still looking for a wife. So he professes not to be gay. He professes that was just a one-time incident, and then, of course, the other incidents that occurred when he was younger. So I don't bring it up at all anymore, because I have just, you know, said it's his life, whatever he's doing, it's on him. But I just, you know, for my own self, I just wonder if he, you know, is truly still suppressing, you know, that part of him, and or if it goes away, I don't know, you know, or, you know, because him coming out, I kind of look at him now and I'm like, I don't know if he's going to ever come out, you know, because I don't know. You know, he's not as feminine as he was, because I think that has kind of probably changed with maturity over the years. But, I just really don't know, you know, and I've never had the conversation with him since, you know, early on since we split. Because he, you know, always felt like, you know, he just always, you know, he never wanted to have a conversation. It was always just that it was a one-time thing. So what if he isn't gay? I've always questioned it, you know. Was that just a one-time thing for him? I don't know. It's something I don't want to deal with, but what if it was just a one-time thing? Or maybe he is still truly suppressing, or maybe he is acting out. And I don't know any of it. He lives in a different state than I do now. But
yeah. Okay. I think you have to have an illness in order to be healed from something. And I don't think he has an illness. It sounds like he's gay. And,
well,
and from that, I don't think you can be healed from or changed.
Because I think that it's just a part of who he is, not being mm-hmm. judgmental, mm-hmm. you know, but, I mean, like she said, like, you have to have an illness to be healed, and I personally believe that you can be bisexual. He could be looking mm-hmm. for a wife. That's fine. But if he doesn't deal with the other parts of himself, I don't feel that that's going to be a very solid relationship either, because mm-hmm. the foundation will start to be built on lies from the beginning mm-hmm. unless he can be honest about what happened and be able to take that journey with his new potential wife.
I definitely agree. We have somebody on that was trying to say something, or maybe they ended up hanging up. Let me see. Okay, so no, they ended up changing their mind. But I definitely agree with both of what everyone has been saying. And it's not necessarily, like Shonda said, that he has something to heal from. He just has to get to a place where he can be open and honest about who he really is. And being bisexual doesn't necessarily mean he's gay. It just means that he has a preference for both. He enjoys both sexes, but he doesn't know how to say that. And or it could mean that it was an experimental thing and it was a one-time thing and he doesn't want to do it again. Women experiment in the same way. They may have sex with a woman one time and it's like, oh, I found out that's not for me. Mm-hmm. However, he still needs to be able to be honest with people, because if it wasn't a one-time thing and he wants to experiment, quote-unquote, again, you know, mm-hmm. he would need to have that mm-hmm. conversation. So I think this has been a really, really good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There are some guys out there who feels that a relationship with a woman validates them, and only if you have sex with a man and nothing else doesn't mean you're gay or even bisexual. It's just mm-hmm. a sexual act. So that could be a part of what he's dealing with. It's just sex. It's nothing else. So mm-hmm. I'm not bisexual. I am straight. I just periodically like to have sex with a man. To me personally, that's kind of confusing. But, I mean, there are people out there who feel that it's just sex and it's nothing else.
Right, right, right. Let me see. Somebody did log on. I can't really tell their numbers, but I'm just going to bring the caller on. So let's see. Hang on 1 second. Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hey.
All right.
Did you have a comment?
Yes, God bless to all. I just logged on. I apologize for my technical difficulties, but I saw my friend on there, Javon, and so I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for logging on.
Yeah, I just logged on. I think it's Mika Ray.
Yes, this is
yes.
She.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say, I'm trying not to take up too much time. I get a little nervous because I'm talking in front of all these people. So please bear with me. What I'm trying to say is we all are in search of love, right? And so whether it be a man, woman, monkey, ape, whatever, right? We're all in search of love. And when the emotions arise within you and there's an attraction, be it same sex or another sex, whatever, right? It's out of your control. And this is what I've learned personally, me personally. I'm speaking from experience that it's something that you can't control. But what happens is when you love someone else, like say you pick somebody and you're like, I love this person. And mm-hmm. I really love this person and I'm going to be with this person. Those emotions get put aside. Because you love this person and you chose to love this person. So wherever you go, and let's say that animal attraction comes up within you and you start to feel some type of emotion again and you're like, oh, God, I'm attracted to this same-sex person or this heterosexual person, you have to put that on the back side and sacrifice those feelings, because keep in mind and remember that you love this person that you chose to love. That's called
definitely
sacrifice.
Agree.
That's called life. That's called being God-like. You try to be as Christ-like as possible within you. That's just my personal opinion, but I do know about what the young man is saying. We are all animals, and there is an animal attraction within all of us because that's what we are, and we are here to love humankind. That's what we're here to love everybody. That's why we're here, right, to be connected. But when you choose, when you pick a person, like say you pick somebody and you say, okay, I'm with you, and I love you, something about you that I love, those animalistic attractions that we naturally, innately, God blessed us to have to be sacrificed and on the back burner for that person. That's only if you believe in that. If you don't believe in it, then you're just going to be an animal. You're going to be a wild animal. You're going to act on every emotion like animals do because we are all animals. I mean, we all are. The only difference between us and a lion is our brains. Our minds and our subconscious mind, that distinguishes us from other animals. That is what puts us over the universe. That's why we control and create the universe. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm sorry. I don't mean no offense. I'm not trying to offend nobody. But I can understand the brother why he might have been attracted to another man or whatever as a pastor or whoever he is. You know, he could be the CEO of a corporation. So what? You know, we're all human, and these emotions that we have within us are naturally innate. God blessed us with instinct, animal instinct. That's what we are. We smell. We have, what are they called, pheromones? We attract to each other. Attract, rather, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm a little nervous. I get a little nervous. But
let me just say something. We do have self-restraint, though, do we? I know this
yes.
is saying that we're animals, but we're a little different than your average dog. And we do have a mind, and we can make those decisions. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That is what our brains, that's why God gave us over any other species. We are mankind. We are
absolutely.
Any other species, we have a brain. And that's where, like you said, lady, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, but I mean, ma'am, sweetheart, I don't know your name. Exactly what you said. We have restraint because we have brains. And when you love someone, you don't hurt them. So for
right.
you to act out on your animal instinct that we all have, to act out on your animal instinct and forget about the person that you love is going to hurt them. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
and that's, we with brains, we as mankind, human beings, over the whole, we are over every species out there because we have brains and we can use them.
Absolutely.
Well, that is definitely true. I think that was a great point that you made, and I just want to say this. Thank
no
you
offense.
First off for sharing.
No
offense has been taken. Well, we're happy you got it out.
I just wanted to make sure I relate to the young man because I know I had some animal instinct the other day and I had to pray. Thank you. All right, y'all. I love y'all.
Okay, well, keep listening, okay?
Yes, indeed. Thank y'all.
Thank you. So she made some good points. So we definitely appreciate her point. And I think for me, what I heard her say is that we are all sexual beings. We may be just attracted to who we are attracted to. It doesn't necessarily mean we are gay, lesbian, heterosexual, whatever. We're just all on this continuum. That's just what I think I heard. And she can write me in the Facebook invite and tell me if that's right or not. I have one more caller, and we're over our time, but I'm going to take this last caller, and then we'll be wrapping it up. So 8485.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
This is a great show. I just want to say that I actually agree with the last caller that we all have I'll just say that we can't help who we're attracted to. We can help what we do about it, though. And honesty is the best policy always, especially if you're in the pulpit. There are affirming churches, and as a pastor, a preacher, you can go and create an affirming ministry, but if you're not honest about who you are, then you're not doing what it is you're called to do. You know, I don't think, I personally don't believe that any of us are called to lie about who we are. We're all made uniquely, and we are to celebrate, especially at this particular time in this country, in the world. We're supposed to be celebrating who we are. People are fighting and dying for that. As far as having sex with people of the same sex, different sex, you know, it's all about, like the lady was alluding to, being honest with your partners and not hurting other people. And if we could help who we were attracted to, most people would be straight. Most people would pick a scientist as opposed to a thug. But, you know, good girls like bad boys, and, you know, it's just like that, you know. A lot of women probably would have chosen a different baby daddy if we could help who we were attracted to. And that's just what I think.
I would have.
Okay, I'm kidding.
I'm trying to be PC, you know. But, yeah, good show, Mika. Good show always.
Well, I'm just happy we were able to have open and honest conversation about this. It's needed. People need to hear it, and we need to talk about it. And I think this has really brought some enlightenment to women out there who have a concern about having those conversations, and just knowing that, I think that what our second guest talked about, it made people know that this is real, but you're still human. Things happen, and we can move on. We can move forward. And we can eventually, you will, of course, find someone who is open and honest with you in the ways that you need them to be so that you can feel secure in your emotional love for them. So it's a full conversation. But I hope if we have this conversation again, of course, we would love to have you both back. I know he had to get off the call, but I just appreciate you all for sharing your story and really talking to us and bringing all this to light, because it makes a difference to hear about it and talk about it. And the more we talk about things, the less taboo things are, and the more we can help other people not experience this, what you experience. So I appreciate it. I will make sure I post the replay of this call for everyone to hear. I know I had a few late people join in, so you will have access to this call so you can listen to it. And if you have anything else to say, of course, you can post it in the invite. We are introducing a new segment to the G-Spot, which is called Confessions. So we ask that if you have a confession, something that you want to get off your chest, a secret, a sexual desire, or whatever you want to share, to send it to MikaRay@MikaRay.com. So we will read it on the air. We will provide advice. We will talk about it. It will remain anonymous. Nobody would know who is from. And Javon, of course, we thank you very much for providing us with the platform. And, of course, you can listen to Javon on Brunch in the Basement on Saturdays, 11 to 1, Sundays, 6:30 to 8:30, Sunday Evening Shout. And then I'm here every Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern. the G Spot with Mika Ray and Intimate Realness with Mika Ray on the second Monday of the month. So we hope you all have a good evening. Thank you so much for joining tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shonda, for co-hosting.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You all have a great, great night. And, of course, I'll play something on our way out. So, good night.
Yeah, let's have an outro.
I'm looking for it.
Wait, 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 wait